Welcome to Hockey Nights in Vegas, episode 43. My name is Eddie Rivkin. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Joe Payne. This episode is brought to you, as always, by the Las Vegas Advisor. If it's happening in Las Vegas, it's happening at the Las Vegas Advisor, www.lasvegasadvisor.com. Go to Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor for everything you need to know about our great city, Las Vegas, Nevada. Joe, I hate to be a doom and gloom guy, but the Golden Knights are not going to go 80-2 this year.
No, they're not. And actually, they have had two uninspiring performances at T-Mobile, which is kind of shocking, especially after coming off a very impressive 5-0 road trip, a 9-game winning streak, and playing two teams that, being St. Louis and San Jose, that you would think, and you even said that if they, there's possibly this win streak could get as high as 14 or 15, because I think you and I and a lot of people expected them to, this would be two easy games for them. When I say easy, I don't mean easy, but two games that they, on paper, they should have won, but they
didn't. Two winnable games,
but they didn't. Okay. We all know about the first game back after a long road trip. But St. Louis was in a tailspin. I mean, they actually not only beat Vegas, but then they turned around, went to Colorado and beat Colorado. So they seem to fixed their bus that was going down the road with some flat tires. But two games that I think Vegas probably would like to have back, and let's hope those 4 points do not come into play in April.
Well, I have more bad news. They're not going to go 78-4.
You know, by no means, you know, is there any panic in this group? I think it's still early in the season. And, you know, we've gone on long stretches and we've had a lot of bounces. And, you know, some nights are tougher. So I think just I'm going to regroup here and, you know, get ready for next game.
Is it like post-game stuff on the ride home?
Okay. I listen to the post-game show all the time on the ride home.
And I have to tell you, and we're not going to name any names, but there was somebody yesterday, I almost crashed the truck. I just come out of the parking garage. I was on Las Vegas Boulevard turning onto Tropicana, and they took a caller, and the caller said, well, you know, if we lose three games in a row, I'm going to push the panic button.
I know what you're talking about. He calls into the show every game.
Right.
He's the first caller every game.
So we're not going to make, I'm going to, fuck it. I'm going to make fun of him. He's a moron. Okay.
I wouldn't go that far.
Stop it.
I would not go that far.
He's 13-4 and he wants to push the panic button after two losses, Joe. Two losses. And this, he's a moron.
He's not a moron. He's your typical passionate hockey fan who, you know, you bled red for Detroit. I bled blue for the New York Rangers. He bleeds gold. He loves his team, and he's concerned.
Okay, but he speaks like he has great wisdom about the games, and then more often than not, the host of said show has to correct him, as he did last night, and he was like, hey, listen, it's not time to push the panic button. But Joe, I think you and I have different opinions when it comes to the importance of the St. Louis and the San Jose game. But before we do, let's go back first to a joyous moment, and then we'll go back to sadness. Are we not entertained by Jack Eichel?
You know what? I never knew how good he was, because, you know, he played in Buffalo. It's not a big market. He didn't get a lot of exposure when he was there. You know, he's not one on the original six team. You know, you and I grew up playing, rooting, cheering for original six teams. We're hockey nuts. But he was in a market where he didn't get any exposure. But I tell you what, every game that I see him, he just does things that just go, did he just do that? His awareness on the guys. He always talked about how Gretzky knew where to go.
Well, you know, found the open ice.
Right. Eichel, I think, is of the same breed. He is just where he's supposed to be at all times. And he sees plays developing before they actually develop. I think he's I'm impressed. They, you know, they're not paying him enough. I understand they're paying him a lot, but in this day and age, he is worth every penny he's getting paid.
And listen, I've been slurping Eichel since the day of the trade. I thought this was going to be a fantastic thing. I knew that they were going to give up something in Alex Tuch, but at the end of the day, don't you notice how slow the game seems to him? He just sort of, he doesn't, there's no pressure on what he does. He's effortless.
It looks like he's not even skating and he's blowing by guys.
Right. And you know, he sees the game in a different perspective than everybody else. He just inherently knows when to push, when to pass, when to shoot. And, you know, I believe that this trade will be the cornerstone, the linchpin of what the Golden Knights are for the next probably 5 years. So let me ask you this. Now we've seen him in person a whole bunch of times. We watched him on TV and everything like that. Is he in the same league as McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, Draisaitl? Is he a top five NHL player?
Absolutely. That's an easy question.
Right? No debate whatsoever.
No, in my opinion, no debate whatsoever. Now, is he better or than these players? I wouldn't say he's better than them, but he's just as good as they are. And he provides a lot. I mean, he, you know, Connor McDavid is his forte is more offense, where Eichel can play both sides of the puck, and he plays it well.
I mean, we've seen a couple of back checks where he closed 50 or 60 feet of ice with a player going the mm-hmm. other way.
Yeah.
I think that I don't believe so much in coming out parties. And I know how difficult the first game in Buffalo must have been for him last year. But I think, first of all, there was a lot of money on the board in the dressing room before that Buffalo game. And I think that he was determined to make a point. And 4 points in the third period, a natural hat trick. Sure, the last one was an open net goal, but it made one of the better open net goals from 190 feet.
Exactly 190 feet.
You know, so I think the that was a great cap on the great road trip. And to bring it back to the last two games, I don't read anything into it. I think that the dismaying thing about last night is they just never really seemed focused. They had an okay first period. The second period was back and forth, but St. Louis carried the play, I would say, for the majority of it. And the third period, you know, kind of meh. And we'll transition this into the post game. Marchie said that their power play won the game for them, and our power play lost. We'll have the video of that. But you know what? They were a disinterested hockey club, in my opinion. We just sort of watched the game last night, and we're like, they don't really seem too engaged. And I don't know if that's incredibly disheartening. There are games every year that, you know, teams want to flush. Petrangelo said, no, he didn't really want to flush it. He said, we did some good things in the first period. They got some bounces. It didn't feel like the effort was all the way there in a game against a team that they're now, 19-2-4 in the regular season against. I expected a better effort from them after the St. Louis game and was kind of surprised that I didn't get it, or we didn't get it.
And actually, just so we don't confuse our listeners and our audience here, is that you said the St. Louis game, but you were talking about last night's game, which was against San Jose.
Right. But I said I expected a better effort after the St. Louis game against San Jose. Okay. And, I mean, St. Louis, that game, it's a known quantity. Bettors know it as good as anybody in the world. The first game back after a long road trip is notoriously a trap game. Yes, St. Louis had lost 8 games in a row, but they won their last game coming in. They do historically play pretty well in the fortress. Been a lot of 6-5, 5-4 games and stuff like that, specifically with St. Louis when they come here. So that game was meh. But I thought they would bounce back better last night than what we saw.
So did I. And I think Marcuso and Stone also, when he spoke after the St. Louis game, he just said he didn't think there was any urgency. And he actually made a mention of that. They didn't get any power play opportunities.
Yeah, none. And they only had, would they have 3 last night?
They didn't get one to the second period.
Yeah.
We're sloppy the whole game. And in the third period, they probably won them again. And our power play lost this game. So there's no excuse for us to lose those 2 past games. I think we were right there. We just didn't take over. It was right there for us. We didn't bury on a couple of our chances. And they just hang around, got a power play and got a nice goal. And it was just a bad night for us, I think.
Yeah.
But when they got power plays, even though, Stone made a point that he thought in the St. Louis game they didn't get any power play opportunities. Well, they had multiple power play opportunities last night and didn't take advantage of it. And I want to talk about what I think part of the problem is their zone entries on the power play are just horrendous.
Isn't that weird though? It doesn't matter who the coach is all of a sudden, because been a bugaboo.
It's been a bug. It was a bugaboo when Steve Spott was running the power play, but it was for him. It was a bugaboo throughout the whole particular season. This season, the power play has been okay. It hasn't been horrible. But they never even have a power play against St. Louis. But last night, in a crucial part of the game, when they were trailing and they had a power play, I don't think they even got a shot on net in 2 power plays, right?
I think they had 2 pretty decent power plays in the beginning. The one in the third period was the one that was awful.
Oh, it was hard. They never even got a shot on the goaltender.
Now, it should be said that San Jose has the number 1 PK in the NHL. It needs to be put out there. However, when the Golden Knights put out, 19.5, Petrangelo is another 27. When they put out 30 or 40 million on the power play, they should be able to get the puck in the zone and, establish possession and go to work. And that last power play in the third period really was sort of a bellwether that they were in trouble.
And Butch was moving people around a lot last night also. Even on the power play, you had noticed that he moved Eichel over to the opposite wall.
Right.
He was trying to generate something. He was flip-flopping the centers on the third and fourth line last night.
Yep.
He was telling us as we were watching, he knew that something was amiss.
Something was off, yeah.
Yeah, something was off, and he was trying to – he wasn't going to tinker with the top 2 lines, but he was tinkering with the third and fourth line. He was just trying to get what he called secondary scoring, which is important in this league, because your top 2 lines are always going to be up against the best defensive players on the other team. So you'd have to get scoring from the third and fourth lines. And the fourth line, especially William Carrier, has been great over the last couple of games, especially on the 5-game road trip. He's showing signs of offensive skill that I didn't even know he even had, And Cotter looks good. Cotter's back in the lineup, and I know you're happy about that. He's a Detroit boy.
Yep.
And he's looked good too. I don't even know why they pulled him out of the lineup, but he's back in, and hopefully he'll stay in. I think that's good for the team.
Well, Coach Cassidy said in I can't remember where I read it, probably in The Athletic by Jesse Granger, that there was a little slip in his play, and that's why he got pulled out of the lineup. And we talked about it last game. He said, do you regret, flying your flag for Cotter? And I'm like, no. I mean, he had a majestic goal in Buffalo, right? He had such a good goal. that Jack Eichel in the post game said, I should probably talk to him about how to handle breakaways.
Yeah, Eichel, right? Too, Eichel could have easily had 5 goals up in Buffalo.
All day.
All day.
So I think that this was the most tinkering that we've seen from Coach mm-hmm. Cassidy so yep. far in 17 games. I think that in our post game, our brief chat with him last night, he was chapped about a whole bunch of stuff. He didn't really tell us too much, but other than immediately disagreeing with Marchie that the power play didn't lose the game for them, I think that he was chapped in, enough by their effort that you could see more of the blender. I mean, with Gallant, we used to see the blender all the time. With DeBoer, a little bit less. But so far in 17 games, we've only seen really small adjustments after they put the Misfits line back together. There was right. some tinkering before then, sorting out the second, all the lines and everything. But once he flipped the switch and he put the Misfits back together, and Stone and Eichel and Stevenson were the top line, all the tweaks have been really kind of small, right? A wing to a center, flipping Waugh and Amadio, or Juan Howden. So last night, I get the sense that this was the first game, if he was a jockey, that he would have brought out the riding crop and cracked the team a little bit, because he wasn't getting what he wanted.
He wasn't getting what he wants, and he clearly showed his displeasure the first time that I've seen it from Cassidy. He's usually pretty upbeat. He was a little pissed off last night. He even yeah. said, like, good teams. And he goes, I think we're a good team, but good teams don't blow third period leads. And they
yep.
they did that. And they were, and I even said to you in the middle of the game, it's so sloppy tonight.
It was the whole game was a mess.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was San Jose imposing their will on the Golden Knights by clogging up the neutral zone and saying beat us, or if the Golden Knights were disinterested, or it was just one of those games that for the most part, you take the couple of good things that you got out of it, you flush the other stuff, and, yeah. and you move on.
And when you see Mark Stone have a bad game defensively with the puck, you know something's wrong.
Yeah,
he had a number of turnovers last night. One led directly to a goal too.
Yeah, two times along he had a chance there. To clear it up yep, the wall.
Along the wall, and he failed to get it out. Next thing you know,
back
behind Logan. And I think and going further with that position, you know, we talked about how great the goaltending was, and I think now we see the goaltending is good, and it's much better when the guys in front of them are defensively responsible. Last night, they weren't defensively responsible, and they left Logan Thompson out to dry on at least two of the goals last night.
So that brings up a good, interesting question. When they were on the 9-game road streak, the winning streak, and the save percentage was in the 930s, and the goals against was just a hair over 2, if even that, everything was fine and dandy. But in the last 4 games, Logan Thompson has given up at least 3 goals. His save percentage has been in the high 8s to low 9s. Do you think there's a little regression back to the norm happening, or do you think that maybe the Golden Knights aren't playing as stout a system, a defensive system, as they did in the first, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 games?
I think this is an easy question to answer. I think the last 2 games, defensively, the Golden Knights have been amok, and especially against 2 teams, like I said before, 2 teams they should have beat, and they didn't. And it's all basically a number of the goals that came last night was just a matter of the fact of their failure to get the puck cleanly out of the zone. I mean, you know, the safest route is always to take the puck up out along the boards as opposed to trying to get it out through the middle.
Right.
But even last night, and Stone, like, I hate to repeat myself, but he had 2 golden opportunities to get the puck, and he was high, maybe 10 feet inside the blue line, and he couldn't get the puck out of the zone. And next thing you know, it's going back the other way. And Logan Thompson is left out to dry. No, I think Logan's fine. I just think that I think the fans have gotten spoiled as far as how structurally, defensively, they've been sound in front of both Hill and Thompson. And over the last two games, that hasn't been the case.
You have no concerns whatsoever about
the ball? No, none whatsoever.
Bit elevated goals against and the little bit lower save percentage, you're saying, is all systemic.
Absolutely. I believe it has nothing to do with the goaltenders whatsoever. I believe it's just that they've had a hiccup. They've had a defensive hiccups, and it's gone against them. You know, a lot. Sometimes you have a defensive miscue, but your goaltender comes up with a big save, and you forget about it. Well, last night they had a couple of defensive miscues, and the goaltender didn't come up with a big save. So, you know, where do you lay the blame here? I lay the blame is that if the puck gets out of the zone, Logan Thompson is not forced to make that save. So, no, I'm not concerned about the goaltending. Not yet, anyway. I mean, that was my question at the beginning of the season. If you go back and look at the first episode we did before the season started, I said the only thing that I was concerned about with this team was, is the goaltending going to be sound to carry them through an 82-game season with no real number one goaltender per se? I mean, yes, Logan played real well at the end of the season, but he only had, 14 or 15 games. So it was just too small of a window. And that was a lot of questions that Cassidy had to field in the beginning in the preseason games and early in the season was, are you confident about your goaltending? Well, then we saw that the system that they use is goaltender friendly. But over the last two games, it hasn't been goaltender friendly because they're not holding up their end defensively.
Well, I mean, Bruce said we lost the slot battle. I mean, that if you want to hang, not the blame, the reason, I guess, for last night's loss, I mean, there's no excuse for that goal that they scored to open the third period. I mean, there's just none. They didn't come out focused. They missed the starting bell for the third period. But he said, you know, we lost the slot battle, and that's what cost us the game. And I don't know, you know, to bring it back around. If you have no concern about the goaltending whatsoever,
I don't. I don't right now.
Then you have to disagree with the concept that a panic button is anywhere in the conversation.
Oh, you're talking about the caller.
No, I'm talking about in general. Do you think think there's any reason whatsoever
to have a panic? We basically started the conversation about the caller that called into Ryan Wallace in the post game show about if we lose on Thursday that he's ready to push the panic button. No, that's a little premature. Okay, but what I am concerned about is that these goals early in the periods coming out of the locker room. It's almost like they're not ready to start the period. I think this is like the second or third time they've given up a goal within the first minute of a period.
But I think, and God, I wish I had the exact statistic, I believe that they have more than 10 goals in the first 5 minutes of a period. We just happen to be harping on the couple that have got away from them, but they have, which is a big differentiator from previous years. They've had some fantastic starts, a bunch of first 5 minutes jumping on the opposition, you know, some less than a minute, some in the first, a second minute. But I believe, and we'll have to go to the ace statistician, which we don't have. There's at least
a 10, budget is not that big.
There's at least 10 goals that they've scored in the first 5 minutes of a period. So, no panic button, not even in the room yet?
No, not at all, no.
Complete belief in the Golden Knights and Bruce Cassidy's system?
I'm a real believer in Bruce Cassidy's system. He's did it in Boston with a not a number one goaltender. And so far, you know, early in the season, he's doing it here.
You know what? It comes down to one thing. He has done exactly what he said he was going to do the very first time we got to talk to him at City National. The players are accountable, right? They're still, I mean, they're less than a quarter of a season into all brand new systems that were completely opposite from the way they've played in previous years. I agree with you. I mean, obviously, there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
So we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
No. I don't even think there's water in the bathtub.
Oh, there's water in the bathtub.
No. There's no, they lost. Water. They lost. They're 13-4. They're tied for second in the NHL. They have.
You're not canceling the play, the parade route.
No. Okay. You mean from Caesars to the Bellagio or the real parade route?
It's not the WNBA now. Stop.
But no. I don't know if I'm going to commit to the parade route just yet. But I'm going to say that the reports of their demise are greatly exaggerated, and all those pundits who said they're going to struggle to make it to the playoffs, and they're lucky that they play in a weak division. And all of that other stuff, those people were wrong and have hightailed their reversals.
Did you find it interesting that, Cassidy was quick to dispel Mark G's theory about why the game was lost?
Did I find it what? Strange?
Did you find it strange that he was quick to shoot down Marchessault's theory about why they lost last night?
No, he was asked a direct question and he vigorously disagreed. And if there's anything that we've learned after, having Coach Cassidy for 7 or 8 or 9 games at the fortress, is that the cat doesn't mince words.
No.
You know, he has a photographic recall of events, and if you ask him a question, you're going to get an answer. And it's very refreshing for us because it certainly gives us a lot to talk about on the podcast. And for the fans who have been clamoring for, we want more information, all of that stuff, Bruce Cassidy, and we saw the first less than positive press conference last night, like we said, but it just further cements the fact that if we pose him with difficult questions, he's going to give us an answer. And I don't know. I'm over the moon with the hire, and we don't need to go back into McChrystal ball and pulling that hire out 8 days after he got let go in Boston.
Is there anything going on in the NHL that you want to talk about?
I do. I'll talk about one, and you'll talk about another.
Go ahead.
My favorite coach in the NHL is John Tortorella. I don't care if he's coaching the Flyers, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Rangers, or the Vegas Golden Mini Mite 7-year-olds.
Okay, he's gonna give you his honest opinion all the time.
As happy as I am that Bruce Cassidy is the coach of the Golden Knights, and I am happy, and you know me, Joe, happy is not a word that gets splashed around in our conversations too often. A little itsy bitsy tiny part of me wishes that we had signed Torts just for the folly of us getting to see it in up close, in person, 41 times a year, plus the playoffs.
He is a piece of work, and I got to enjoy him in New York.
He's goddamn priceless.
And we have. Did you see what happened last night against Columbus when he played against Columbus?
We fans, followers, listeners, subscribers, we're going to drop in John Tortorella's behind the bench interview from yesterday's ESPN game, because most of you are at the fortress watching the Golden Knights. As you know, ESPN and also TNT, they get a couple of seconds with the coaches during the game, usually in the first period. John Tortorella gave us an Easter egg last night that is so spectacular that we have to share it with you. We know it's not Golden Knights related, but we're going to, every episode now, include some tidbits from around the NHL my first gift to you. Please enjoy John Tortorella's expert analysis of his Philadelphia Flyers in the first 15 minutes of last night's game against his former team, the Columbus Blue Jacket.
Torts, you guys give up the first goal. Just thoughts on your team's start here so far in the first 15-plus minutes.
We suck. We haven't forechecked. We haven't done anything as of right now.
What do you want to see differently?
Forecheck.
Thank you.
Okay.
He was so fired up, his glasses were
coming off.
Well, so the other thing I want to talk about is, in the beginning of the season, they was talking about what teams would be vying for the number one pick in the amateur draft, which is supposed to be very strong this season. And one of the teams was, besides Chicago and Arizona and San Jose, was the New Jersey Devils. And early in the season, the fans were chanting for Lindy Ruff to be fired like two or three games in. Well, guess what? The New Jersey Devils have a league-leading 10-game win streak, and they won their 10th game last night in Montreal. And the last game in New Jersey, the fans were chanting that they were apologizing.
We're sorry, Lindy, or something like that.
So the New Jersey Devils, who have been, as Wayne Gretzky called them, a Mickey Mouse organization. Do you remember when he called them that?
I do.
Oh, my God.
I remember that very vividly.
And so now they're sitting on top of the Eastern Conference, I believe. Well, not the Eastern Conference.
Boston.
Boston, but in their division anyway.
Yeah.
And they got a 10-game win streak going on. So, hey, congratulations to the New York Devils, who I have no love for. But, you know, I want to point out something that's good. And it's New Jersey winning 10 games in a row is pretty good.
Okay, well, put on your Swami hat. They have a 10-game winning streak. Two questions. Are they going to win their division, and are they going to make the playoffs?
No and yes. They're not going to win the division. This is an anomaly right now, the winning 10 games in a row.
Okay.
But they're banking a lot of points right now. They just banked 20 points,
yep,
which will help them possibly get into the playoffs. So to answer your question is, they're not going to win their division, but they might get into the playoffs.
Would you like some syrup with your waffles?
Yeah, I'm waffling on that one.
I know
New Jersey. I just think they're actually their goaltender. Their number one goaltender is hurt too in the middle of this 10-game win streak too. So I don't know. I'm going to plead. Can I answer this question after the Christmas break?
Well, wait a second. Hold on a second. The stat is,
if you're in a playoffs by Thanksgiving, you make the
Thanksgiving.
Playoffs.
So Thanksgiving is a week from tomorrow. They don't have enough games to fall out of the playoffs.
No, they don't. But the point is, they're in a pretty tough division, though.
They're in a very tough division.
There's a lot of good teams in their division.
Yes.
Because
if they're going in, who in that division
is going out? Right, exactly. Is Washington going out?
Well, Washington seems to have caught the Golden Knights injury bug.
Yeah.
So they're struggling. And, you know, they got Darcy Kemper from Colorado, and he has been good, but he hasn't been
Stanley
Cup defending.
Right, exactly.
You know, any other news around the league? Exciting for you? Anything interesting?
The popcorn supply in the press box has been limited.
Yes, we have a beef, and this is a complete insider beef, but we promised our friend Chris Chapman and Lindsey Brown that we would air this on a podcast. There's a girl upstairs at T-Mobile Arena who's been taking care of us for more than a couple of years now. Her name is Cinnamon. And Cinnamon is the girl who's responsible for feeding the media our popcorn that we like to snack
on during the games. Not just popcorn.
And other healthy snacks. Snacks, said no one ever.
I wouldn't call them healthy.
So
chips and peanuts, I wouldn't call that healthy.
We found out last night that Cinnamon has been reassigned somewhere else in T-Mobile for the Golden Knights game. So we would like to make an appeal. Yes, we would like to make an appeal right here and right now to the T-Mobile gods to return us our cinnamon and our endless supply of popcorn stash, because Joe and Lindsay and Christopher Chapman all need their popcorn. Otherwise, they get grumpy during the games.
Oh, my God. Especially T-Mobile. Especially Chapman.
We want our cinnamon back. Is that it?
That's what we need to talk about? I think we've covered it all.
We've pretty much covered it all.
From popcorn to Tortorella.
We should talk about the Las Vegas Advisor again. www.lasvegasadvisor, your go-to website for every single thing Vegas in town. Tips on how to win at gambling. Tips on what shows are coming to town. Anything, everything that you could ever want or need in Vegas, you get at Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor. www.lasvegasadvisor.com. Got anything else, Joe?
I had dinner Sunday at Roma Deli.
How'd that go?
You weren't there.
I wasn't invited.
I know.
You forgot about that part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the point is, another great meal at Roma Deli.
Hey, why don't we do this?
People there that have never been there before, and they've been talking about it all week. So
why don't we do this? Why don't we have our pregame meal tomorrow before the Coyotes game at Roma Deli and invite all of our listeners to come out and have dinner with us? We ain't paying for everybody.
No.
Everybody, they can.
By the time this airs, that event would have already passed. Because we're taping this on Wednesday. It's probably not going to publish till Friday. And you're talking about a pregame meal on Thursday.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. One of these times, we're going to invite everybody to a pregame meal where you'll have one day to decide if you want to join us at Roma Deli.
There you go. That's it.
And we'll buy desserts.
Really? We're going to buy?
Dessert. Desserts.
Oh, dessert. Okay.
Dessert.
Okay.
Yeah, you had to wait for the pause. We'll buy desserts.
Hey,
we'll invite everybody out.
We forgot about Dr. Pierce.
We should talk about Dr. Pierce before we go. We should definitely talk about Dr. Pierce before we go. I did promise an earth-shattering bet with the subscribers. Unfortunately, that's going to have to be delayed for one episode because I don't have medical clearance and authorization to talk about this highly. Oh boy, you people are going to laugh your ass off when you find out what this is all about. But let's talk about important things with agelessforever.net and my friend Dr. Pierce. Hormones. Are your whores moaning? Are your hormones moaning? Right? As we all get older, the body changes. Our chemistry changes. I don't feel as good at my advanced age as I did 5 or 10 or 15 years ago.
You know, are you saying you're not moaning as much as you used to?
Probably more. After a while, your body starts making noises that it didn't make before. Like when you try to get out of bed or you try to get out of a chair, things crackle, right? You don't feel as good as you felt when you were young and virulent and stuff like that. But we can fix that, folks. We have therapy for that. For the boys, we have testosterone therapy. For the women, they have the equivalent. I don't know exactly what it's called. But this is an opportunity for you. I don't know if it's the fountain of youth, but it's the opportunity for you to feel better, to feel physically better, to feel mentally better. Because if your body doesn't hurt you as much, you're in a better place. So they have hormone therapy. They have platelet-rich plasma therapy. They have everything that you could possibly want to do to make yourself the best you possible. My friend Dr. J.J. Pierce at Ageless Forever has graciously offered a free consultation to anybody who listens to this podcast. All you have to do is go to www.agelessforever.net, fill out the card, tell them that you're a friend of the guys at Hockey Nights in Vegas, and you go in. You have a chat with them. and you'll see what you can do to make the best you. Let me just say this, and we're going to do shorter commercials now because we got yelled at for yapping for 3 minutes at a time. This is a better New Year's resolution than saying you're going to go to the gym or give up fucking candy corn. Okay? This is something legit where you really take an interest and care for yourself and can make the best you out of you. Man, woman, young, older, oldest, like the two of us, whatever it is, do something good for yourself for the new year. Don't promise you're going to go to the gym and then quit on January 18th. Don't promise you're going to stop drinking Coke and have your first Coke, at, you know, 2 weeks later. This is the real deal stuff for the long term, for the betterment of your health for the long term. www.agelessforever.net. Dr. J.J. Pierce has been a good friend of mine for, Christ, going on 30 years. So we're going to wrap up episode 43. Episode 44 is going to be the special report card episode. We're going to wait three more games. The Golden Knights play Arizona here in Las Vegas tomorrow night. Then they hit the road for a quick trip through Edmonton and Vancouver, which gets them to the 20-game mark, which is a quarter of a season. And if any of you have ever gone to school in your lives, you normally get your first report card about a quarter of the way through. So we're going to put on our teacher hats for episode 44. And we're going to tell you how we think all aspects of the Golden Knights are doing. That episode will come around in about a week. Please like and subscribe. Shoot us a message. We love to chat with people. Say hi if you see us at the game. Joe loves to go out and walk around on the corridor and visit with all the fans and everything like that.
I do that.
I make sure the press box stays in order. And work. I'm working on the popcorn. I'm working on the popcorn. So that's it for episode 43. We're out of here, and we'll see everybody next week.
Take care, everybody.